but I learned that the people who were there when they got there, they were actually kind of on my side. But then they get their credentials and they get out there on their own and they get bullied into this. This is why if you think that law enforcement is going to protect you when it goes down, you are out of your freaking mind. They're the ones that are going to be going door to door, and because they're already doing this mafioso bullcrap and you don't hear about it. Ladies and gentlemen, a Florida teen has been arrested and charged with a felony for, I just hit a button with my pinky. That's fun. Charged with a felony for burning rubber on what's being called a pride flag. Iran's Houthi thugs, if you don't know about that, stick around, you'll learn some about it, are seriously looking to kick off World War III, and billionaire real estate investors are leaving New York City to continue to eat their own, which is a lot of fun to watch, even if you're not a billionaire. I'm not a billionaire. Samantha, are you a billionaire? I'm like the low-key super rich. Okay. She says no. And we've just passed the point of no return with our flawed injustice system. Guys, all that more, and it all starts right now. Welcome back to the Joe Mobley Show. I am Joe Mobley, your host and the original uncloseted conservative. Guys, joined by the one and only outspoken Samantha. Woo! I should have like a clap track. Samantha, how are you?
Yeah. I am doing okay. It has been kind of a busy week, so as good as can be expected. Always excited to talk about just this week's insanity. We don't even have to go that far back. We can just see what's happened in the last like 3 or 4 days, and boom, we have far too much content that we know how to handle. So,
yes, I didn't break my own rule this week of, you know, I try and have midday yesterday be the news cutoff. But some juicy things have happened in the last 24 hours. But they're not. Oh, actually, you know what? One of them might be on the after show, which is happening. There is a members only show on Locals at 9:45 p.m. Eastern. It's only 30 minutes because that's all that my account allows me to do on Locals until I get more supporters over there. But it's interesting doing a Thursday night show because it's like Friday Eve kind of thing.
Yes. So. Yeah. And people are trying to decide if they should go to bed early or they're like, you know what? I just need to get through one more day. So it really doesn't matter right now. So
people are also deciding like, do I go into the office tomorrow or just work from home? Have I worked from home too much this week? And that kind of thing.
Well, for those of us who don't really have the option to work from home, it's like, when's the last time I just called in sick? Is it too soon?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I know I'm the only person on planet Earth who does that. I'm just letting you know.
My job has an interesting policy. You have to be basically asymptomatic for 10 days before coming back to the office, which means a lot of us are out of the office a lot. Like a lot.
Because like I have
for any type of cold. You know, any cold. So no cough. No sniffles. You have to appear perfectly healthy. And I get it. It's a very tight space. There are a lot of people in very confined quarters sharing terminals and things like that. But if you've got any kind of cough, sneeze, and for someone like me, I have 4 kids, 9 and under. Like there's a lot of sickness that just goes around. I do have some exciting news. So we'll drum roll ourselves for all of you out there. Today's show is sponsored by us, the Joe Mobley Show. So the shop's been out of commission for the better half of a year. Lots of different reasons for that. One reason for that is I was trying to figure out some logistics things to bring costs down, specifically shipping cost. And I can tell you guys, out of after a lot of math and a lot of wheeling and dealing, I guess, I've gotten costs down, and specifically shipping down for people in the United States. If you're living overseas, I'm sorry, you're still going to pay a healthy amount. But we do appreciate our international audience. Lots of Australians and Europeans for some reason. The craziest thing is the Canadians. Like, if you're a Canadian and you're watching this, get out. Get out now. But the shop is back. I also took some time listening to your feedback. So many people, I've probably sold 1,000 pieces of merch about. Maybe 100 of you have literally written or contacted me online and said that you were disappointed that there was no branding on any of the stuff. So now you can go to thejoemobleyshow.com/shop. The link is right below. It's the top link. It says buy our merch, and you can buy our merch. So we're kicking off the shop with all of your favorites, the Uncloseted Conservative shirt, the My AR-15 identifies as a stick. You can also get all of the designs in mug, and soon you can get them in sweatshirt and hoodie. But this is the only new product. Make elections great again. I think that's something that needs to happen. But if you'll notice, ta-da, there's finally a Joe Mobley Show merchandise logo, which is something that I haven't had. So thank you to my wife for helping this become a reality. And yeah, you guys can also catch the members only show if you join our community and you are a monthly supporter. It's $5 a month. You get the wonderful mug. The only way that you can get the mug is become a supporter. You can't buy it on the store. Go ahead and try it. I dare you. You can't do it. And you also get the shirt for free. Well, for free for your $5 membership. You're not going to get a deal like this anywhere else. For $5, you ain't getting a 15-ounce mug and a t-shirt. Anyway, yeah. We're sponsoring ourselves.
So, yeah, that's amazing. I think it all looks great.
Go and buy things.
I think that anytime, you know, anybody's listening and they think that something that we say should be quoted and put on a t-shirt, send that email in, because I love to get suggestions like that.
Oh, I just had one the other day. I said something and someone's like, that ought to be on a t-shirt. And, it was, I didn't say it. My friend said it and I said, that needs to be a t-shirt. It was the emergency plan for a country soapbox, ballot box, ammo box. That needs to be a shirt. Yeah. I put it on Twitter already, but that should be a shirt. All right. Well, I guess we're getting to the first story.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so Gateway Pundit reporting, Christina Lailia. People, names are weird. Layla. Oh, that's how you spell Layla. Look, I am Black, okay? I'm not expected to do math or read. I should have had you read this.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. I always bring a white person to help me use the internet because, you know, we're just getting used to opposable thumbs who don't know how to use the internet. World War III watch. Houthis have sunk a British ship in the Red Sea, and they've also shot down a U.S. Reaper drone, which is quite a lot of your taxpayer dollars, $30 million of those taxpayer dollars. They also attacked two U.S. ships off the Gulf of Aden. So, I think, me personally... if you remember back here, before we look at that, if you don't know, guys, Saudi Arabia, this country right here, and Iran, this country right here, they're out here kind of in the southwestern corner of the Middle East, right before you cross over into Africa. These two countries fund terrorism all over this region: Morocco, Algeria, Libya, Sudan, Egypt, Israel, Syria, Turkey, all the way out here in France even, Yemen, just everywhere, the UAE, not so much in India, but yeah, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, all of these countries that end in Stan, Iran and Saudi Arabia fund terrorism in those countries. That's what we mean when we say kind of state-backed or state-sponsored terrorism. This is the same thing. We did it. It wasn't terrorism because we don't call ourselves terrorists, but we did it with the surrogate wars, if you remember back to the Cold War, back in the day when we trained and paid for or paid and equipped Osama bin Laden to kind of make a desert army and go fight on the Western Front of Russia for us. Mm-hmm. That's how all of this works. So today, fast forward to 2024, and honestly, the whole time we've been alive, Saudi Arabia and Iran have paid for terrorism to occur. We hear things have blown up in Yemen, things have blown up in France, or things are being, you know, masked guys with AK-47 stuff. All of those operations are funded by one of these two countries, with rare exception. Mm-hmm. And just take my word for it. You can go and search through the history if you'd like to, and I encourage you to. It's a really interesting read. But the reason that they do this is to pull countries into conflict. If Iran wanted to go to war with the United States, Iran, nuclear-capable Iran, or Saudi Arabia wanted to go to war with the United States, they would declare war, or they would just launch an attack like Japan did. But they don't. They're actually manipulating global powers. And this article talks about it a good bit because this is why we're saying World War III watch. Okay, so Iran gets some Houthi thugs, which are basically like pirates, to do something somewhere. Well, why does anyone care? Who cares? They sunk a ship. They sink specific ships and they target specific targets to get specific interest, our interest involved. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing with like Pearl Harbor. I believe that Pearl Harbor, there's no way those admirals missed all of the oil reserve, the United States Navy Strategic Oil Reserve there at Pearl Harbor. You can see it in the surveillance photos that we have, the intelligence that we captured from Japan. You can see those oil reserves in the photos of the Arizona and the other ships. So it's like, they knew that was there. If they hit that instead with just one or two bombs, it would have blew up like half the island. Why didn't they? A lot of people believe they were just trying to get us into the conflict. I think that's what Iran, Saudi Arabia, and all these people do. They're not trying to take down the United States. There's no way these little terrorist actions are actually going to harm the United States. You blow up one of our drones, it just pisses us off. It doesn't set us back. Oh, no! Mm-hmm. We lost a freaking drone. Right. So anyway, that's not my two cents. That was at least 10 cents.
That was way more sense than I have. And I already warned Joe ahead of time. I'm like, I don't know a lot about this issue. I have been paying attention to a lot of other things going on, so this was not on my radar.
There are no trans people in this story.
I know, exactly. Or women complaining about their husbands, or, you know, I've been paying a lot of attention to women just divorcing their husbands for no reason because I'm fascinated with that. So this is completely
women don't have rights in Iran.
Exactly. So this is not on that spectrum at all. But obviously I think the main issue, especially for people like me who aren't overly familiar with issues like this. The main thing is that every time something like this happens, it just reinforces how weak the US is and the view that the rest of the world, particularly our enemies, have of us. They are not threatened by us whatsoever. They are not intimidated by us whatsoever. And it goes to show, you know, that we have weak leadership in the U.S., not just by the conduct of their own followers, but by the response of our enemies, because they never would have pulled any of this with President Trump in office. And it just seems like over the last few years, all of these things, you know, they're just having a heyday. Nobody is laughing more at the U.S. than the people that want to hurt us most. And it is just a free for all. So it is just absolutely blows my mind that these things just keep happening and that people don't realize how important it is to have strong leadership in the U.S., in the White House, and how much just having that keeps these things from happening when they know that, you know, the strongest military in the world has the power to come after them or stop them. And clearly we don't have a leader that's going to do that, no matter how much he gets in there and talks like a tough guy and says, come on, man, you know.
Like, I'll take him out and bag and beat the crap out of him.
Exactly.
Okay, and, Joe Biden.
Yeah, as you shuffle across the front lawn and, you know, need someone to hold your hand just to get to the bathroom. Like, it just, it's astounding. And I did hear a few other people talking about this today and just mentioning how we're essentially one, just like one missile strike away from being pulled into World War III. So that's really, like, we are so, we're on the brink. And even if this is something that you're not well-versed in, at least be paying attention, because this is going to escalate at some point to that point of some kind of global conflict where we will be pulled in.
And that brings me to the idea of Black Swan events. So if you haven't heard of Black Swan events, these are generally regarded as something, an event that changes the course of history in an instant. Everyone knows things are different now. Think 9/11, think Pearl Harbor. Honestly, not even like events like the 2008 crash. That's not a Black Swan event. Dot-com bubble, I don't know if that got Black Swan status or not, but I don't think that it did. The crossing of the Rubicon, Black Swan event. Certain assassinations in history. I think, okay, not an expert in all things related to the future or whatever. I don't have a conspiracy crystal ball. But I think everyone, I've observed that everyone on the internet who deals in Black Swan events, who deals in the analysis of them, predictions of them, kind of like futures puts for you stock traders out there or you big, you know, finance portfolio types. The people who know about this stuff and who kind of read the tea leaves of all this stuff are worried, deeply worried. I was just on the phone. I can't talk about that project because we're not ready to release it yet, but I was on the phone with a contact. And she was telling me about a mutual contact that we have, a retired SEAL and his wife. And I did not know this, but apparently 2 years ago, he called her. He told her X, Y, or Z. Their business is either going to get canceled or have to move international. And regarding a book that he's writing. And so she says, why? And he said, oh, me and my wife, we sold our house. We sold everything. And we're just taking all of our cash and, you know, precious belongings and like moving to Sweden or something. And it was just done. They just peaced out. Super patriotic family. The kids are grown. But they just picked up sticks, took their ball and went home. And I know a number of people doing that. And it kind of goes back to the movie we reviewed, the Netflix one. I can't remember what it was called. I kept calling it The World Is Not Enough. That's not what it's called.
I can't even remember. That's how uncomfortable it was.
Something evil, but white people are bad. I don't know. It's not called The World Is Not Enough, but you guys know the movie with Julia Roberts, and she's like a flagrant racist, apparently.
Oh, that's going to bother me.
Yeah, it's called Tomorrow World. Oh, man. I got to look it up.
Hold on.
Movie.
I cannot believe I don't remember what this is called.
I'm literally typing in Don't Trust White People, Netflix movie. Oh, Don't Trust Black People. No, White People. Yeah. Yeah.
Either way, Leave the World Behind.
There we go. Thank you. So Leave the World Behind is kind of about Black Swan type events. Anyway, everyone who's in the know says there is going to be a Black Swan event this year. Good reason to believe it's going to be before the election. I think it could actually be after the election and maybe say like a Donald Trump one. But then there's some kind of event that's so catastrophic that they need to stay. Who knows? I don't know. Pure conjecture. So YouTube, don't hate it. I'm not saying anything other than my thoughts. Anyway, what do you think? I don't know your feelings on Black Swan events, but
well, again, this is not something that I'm overly familiar with. But when it comes to, you know, these events that could potentially like reshape the world or policy or whatever it is, I mean, we already know 2024 is going to be an absolute poop show. And if we thought, you know, COVID was bad and the 2020 riots were bad, I just honestly think that whatever is going to happen this year is just going to be beyond anything that any of us can imagine. And I do think people are looking at these world events in a different way, because, you know, when 9/11 happened and they changed all of the security measures for getting on airplanes and all these things, you know, we think about that in terms of, at that time, we were thinking this is meant to keep us safe. This is going to heighten security. This is for our benefit. This is for our good. And I think in a lot of ways over the years, that's how most of us have viewed these things, but we've gotten a lot more skeptical. And when you see big events happen, you're like, who's behind it? What's the agenda? What's going to be the outcome? And what rights of mine are going to be taken away? So, I mean, I don't have a crystal ball either, but I think that we definitely need to be looking at things through that lens.
That's literally exactly the right question. Who's behind this? Why are they doing it? And the cherry on top is what rights are going to be taken away now that we have to get pat down, strip searched, they're shooting radiation through our bodies and everything else. And still, the TSA doesn't find 90% of weapons. There are guys doing security audits on those guys sneaking in freaking machetes, knives, guns in some instance, and they're just, oh no, we didn't catch it. I'm like, give me a break. What do you catch if you can't catch this?
Like, they will catch a 4-ounce bottle of shampoo. Don't you worry. Don't try and sneak that on. I think I had a bottle of water in my purse that was half full, and you would have thought that I brought like,
in the mail,
you know, a pistol with me in my purse. They were like, what is that? Sorry, guys, it's water.
Unbelievable. You can have it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the next story, which I've watched all of the videos online about this. It's a really interesting topic if you're into it. Man, I feel like the screen, is my microphone not all the way over or something? I just feel like the screen is 100 miles away. Anyway. Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary slams Mega Loser State. Can we just call New York Mega Loser State New York from now on? He slams Mega Loser State New York over its $355 million Trump verdict and says it will drive businesses out of state. So here's the thing. Here are some things to know about the verdict. No evidence, no trial, no witnesses, no nothing. The judge just sat there and summarily said, you are guilty of fraud. Me, I came up as an attorney and now I'm a judge, but also I'm an expert in real estate law and investment strategies. And I declare, because it wasn't a judgment, it was a decree. He said, I declare you are guilty of fraud, and boom, you're going to pay $355 million, which actually, when you look at it, and they talk about it in the articles and on the videos, when you look at the period of performance, that's another thing. When you look at the period of time that this is going to be paid over, it's really more like $500 million to $600 million because of interest and penalties and things like that. Now, supposedly, Trump can appeal this and try and do all that stuff, which he really doesn't have to between his new $400 sneaker sales that have sold out and ByteDance. That's TikTok. What's the name of the company? Schwack, the company that owns Truth Social and TMTG, Trump Media, Trump Media Truth Group or whatever it's called. I think it's called TMTG. I almost went to work for them, but we couldn't come to terms with things. But maybe one day, guys. Anyway, have you seen his shares? What his share value is for that?
I have not.
$3 billion. They just did the whatever it's called. It's not a it's kind of like a public offering, like an appraisal of what his shareholding is worth right now. So they just went through the process of getting, you know, the financial auditors to say, yes, this is what it is. So he's sitting on a cool $3 billion cash if he cashes out those stocks.
Wow.
Which isn't all of his shares. It might be a controlling share. I'm not sure. So anyway, he could do that and just be like, here's your, not pay any penalties and be like, here's a, you know, what do you want that in? Check, Bitcoin, whatever. I'll just send it over to you. But the real issue is he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. They're committing fraud. They're saying that his multi-million dollar Mar-a-Lago home is worth $1 million, even though the one next door is worth $20 million and it doesn't have beachfront, and his house has beachfront on both sides. Like, when I look at this, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills because they're lying and they're getting away with it. And everyone's like, yeah, you can't do that. You can't tell us what you think something is worth. If you're going to sell it, yes, you can, because he doesn't have to sell it if he doesn't think he's getting a good value, if the offer's not good, and the buyer doesn't have to buy it if they don't think they're getting a good value. But these socialist idiots don't understand how you price and sell a good.
Nope. Yeah, the whole thing has been really interesting. You know, on the real estate development side of it, I mean, I listened to several videos of Kevin O'Leary, is that his name? I didn't want to say the wrong name. Yeah. I blanked for a second. I was like, wait a sec.
You can call him Mr. Wonderful if you're a shark
Mr.
tanker.
Mr. Wonderful. Right. Okay. I listened to a few videos, and I do appreciate his commentary on it. You know, for those of us, again, who were not well-versed in real estate development at all. I mean, he made it very clear that all of the things that they are accusing Trump of doing are practices that are standard across the board in real estate development. And so, you know, he's saying that alone, you know, what they're charging Trump with is telling every other real estate developer that if you try and do this thing that he's doing, that everybody does, you're going to get charged with a crime. So, you know, so of course people are saying that this is going to keep people from investing in New York, from bringing their business here, from building businesses here. And then of course you have Kathy Hochul coming in and trying to reassure all of them that, no, it's fine. We're not going to penalize you. We're not going to do anything. You know, this is just focused on Trump. But this is how stupid they are. If they say this practice that we're charging Trump for is just a one-off thing and all of you other guys can get away with it, then they're admitting that it's politically based. If everybody else can do it but Trump, then they have to admit that it's politically based. But if they let this precedent stand that people can charge and they say, no, it's not politically based, then they're like, oh, well, then you're admitting that all of us could be held to this standard. So either way, they're screwed. And if these real estate developers just happen to escape both of those possibilities of being penalized and criminalized with the other cases against Trump, you know, New York has sent the message saying, if we don't like you, we can just dig up some woman from your past from the last 30 years and get her to accuse you of sexual assault and go after you that way. So essentially, there is no benefit to anybody to bring their business to this state, because in all of these different areas, they can come after you and they will have absolutely no problem doing so. So they've really shot themselves in both feet at this point.
Ooh, that's good. I'm going to use that. That's exactly what's happened. I don't know what's going on with this, so I'm just going to close it. My Rumble video was going crazy. Honestly, based on what you just said about Kathy Hochul and in New York, her and Letitia James, they're just like freaking frack. They're admitting to everyone who has anything up here at all, they're admitting that they are doing, what is it called? It's not called nefarious prosecution. It's like punitive. It's I can't think of the word. It's prejudicial for sure.
Yeah.
But it's a word that means punishment. I just can't think of it right now. Malicious, which is a crime. They are guilty of malicious prosecution. Not just them. Attorneys general and district and commonwealth attorneys all over the United States are guilty of malicious prosecution with Donald Trump and with Trump supporters. You look at the J6 cases, people that were 3 or 4 miles away from the Capitol, but we have in our records that you are a Trump supporter, so prison. It's just like, are you freaking serious? Just put on a red armband already if you're going to be doing this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I love that they still attempt to make the case that this is really about enforcing the law, yet in these same areas where they oversee every other kind of legal policy and activity, you know, they're rampant with crime, they're letting criminals off with a slap on the wrist, they're pushing, you know, punishing innocent people for defending themselves, and then, you know, when people say we need a solution, the best they can do is hire a dance team for the NYPD or talk about more hip hop and federal policy. So, you know, it's become more than a joke. And honestly, at this point, if you choose to live in New York or do business in New York, you get what you deserve.
Yeah. And if this president can come out of New York and go for the district that New York is in, circuit court wise, that would be really interesting. But Kevin O'Leary said him and his millions, he's not a billionaire yet. But him and his hundreds of millions of dollars, he said, I'm done. He said, I'm never doing, you know, business in mega loser of a state in New York again. And he's like, right. I'm building data centers, and I was going to build them at Niagara Falls. It's a great location. Awesome cooling system up there, but no, he's like, now he's looking at Virginia, West Virginia, Texas, Florida. He's looking at red states that don't have bullcrap, you know, prosecution. Yeah, well, kind of, sort of. Florida has some bullcrap prosecution. We'll get to that in just a minute. But if they can do this to Trump, who is a bona fide, famous, internationally known star businessman, millionaire, now with the latest appraisal, billionaire. If they could do that to him, they could do it to anyone. And just like Kevin said, and you were talking about, where's the crime? If this is illegal, then all of us are doing it. And Kevin called it, when he was speaking to that attorney chick on CNN, he called it a victimless crime, which is an element that you need to have if you're going to charge someone with a crime. But anyone could be the victim. Anyone could be the complainant. We can, and we should try this. If anyone lives out near Martha's Vineyard, near the Obama home, try this for me. Say, I'm in the market for a bajillion-dollar home. Pull it up on Zillow and see what it says and say, I don't think it's worth that. And then file charges against the Obamas for criminal fraud because they're drastically overvaluing their asset. And for no reason at all, just say, I don't think it's worth that. I think it's criminal for you to put this price on this piece of property and just see what happens. I guarantee nothing.
Yeah. Even if there was a legal transaction between yourself and the buyer and the lending company and everybody else involved, and nobody's accusing you of a crime or saying that you did anything wrong or that you defrauded them or anything like that, just the government being able to step in and say, we're going to bring a case a case to you, and we're going to deny you the opportunity to defend yourself. We're not even going to let these people come in that say that you didn't do anything wrong and that they agreed with the transaction themselves. That's the precedent that is being set. And not only that, in this ruling, Eric Trump has been ordered to pay millions of dollars. Don Jr. has been ordered to pay millions of dollars. And they named a couple of other people that I'm not even sure who they are. But, you know, it's setting this precedent. It's sending this message saying that, you know, if we come after you for political reasons, we're not only going to destroy you, we're going to destroy your family, and we're going to destroy anybody who's associated with you, and we're going to destroy anybody who has tried to defend you and protect you. So this goes down the line in so many ways. And back to the real estate developers, why not only are they putting themselves at risk, they're putting their families at risk and all of their employees, anybody that's associated with them. Like, it's this broader issue where it's not just you that has a target on your back. You're putting literally every single person within your sphere at risk by doing business in a state like New York.
What you just described moves out of malicious prosecution and just into mob tactics. They're just going around like the freaking mafia, pointing a gun at everyone, saying, "We will wreck you. We'll put you in prison for decades. We'll put your family in debt for 100 years.
Yep.
That's exactly why people are turning over on this stuff. Well,
yeah.
If you're wondering why this happened, if you're wondering if there might have been a hidden agenda all along, here's the woman herself.
And what would you say to people who say, "Oh, I'm not going to bother to register to vote because my voice doesn't make a difference, or I'm just one person"?
I say one name, Donald Trump. That should motivate you. Get off your ass and vote.
Will you sue him for us?
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain in the ass. He's going to know my name personally.
I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't worry, guys. She is not a malicious prosecuting beep AG. Right.
There is no bias there, or, you know, just like personal vendetta whatsoever. And that girl, the white girl there, I mean, she looks like exactly somebody. She could throw out any name there and be like, "Can you sue, you know, Steve for me or Bob for me? Like, who can I use you for to get back at people? Or who, you know, what list do you have where I can put these names? You know, who will you go after for me?" That's exactly who that person is right there. People should be concerned.
She looks like, I'll say on the members only what she looks like, because I don't want to get Sam's YouTube in trouble here.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, no, that joke would have been over the YouTube guidelines for sure, and it would have been on purpose, which is why I can say it in my community where I can say what I want.
Oh, all man. The more reason to join Joe on Locals to hear all of the bad words and name calling he really wants to.
No, it was a joke about a particular type of assault, which
Okay.
Anyway,
you have to hear that.
Yeah, sometimes self censorship is just tact.
Yeah.
All right, so here's here's the last story. Yep, here's the last story. So here we have on Twitter. Let's all watch this together. All right, now this is something that you might have seen or heard at any intersection in America, with anyone who had a ridiculous lifted truck, which especially in Texas, ridiculous lifted trucks and belt buckles and hats everywhere. This is something that you'd see on a daily basis, maybe where you live in Miami or even in New York. What you don't know, all this business right here is apparently a felony.
Ah,
I know. I gasped.
I had no idea. I would have thought more, maybe not a felony, but maybe burning the American flag might be a little bit more serious.
Oh, the American flag. What are you talking about? That thing that we drape on dead service members' caskets? Screw that.
Just lighting that, just setting it ablaze, to me is a little bit more of a serious issue.
No, I mean, there's an act for that, the Flag Act. I think last amended 1975, but, you know, the LGBTQ, LMNOP, HIJK, like that flag is really, really what we need to protect and defend. I'm waiting to see it on the arm of soldiers. If you guys...
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, if you guys haven't heard... what is his name? Dylan something? Dylan Brewer, who's a 19-year-old, a teenager, who is apparently the driver of this very, very heinous truck, doing all of the heinous truckery here. He's been charged with a felony. I believe he's also been charged with a hate crime, if I read the code right. Let me see. Dylan, where are you on my notes? Dylan is gone from my notes, just the links. But yeah, 19-year-old Dylan Brewer was caught on surveillance video in his lifted pickup truck. I guess I made fun of it being lifted, so fair that that the New York Post did too.
That was the real crime.
With LED underbody lights and flag attached to the back. Who wrote this? This is so descriptive. I didn't, when I read it the first time, I didn't laugh like this. Maybe my wife put something in my coffee. revving his engine. Oh gosh. This is get it together. I'm a professional. Revving his engine and making a hard left turn. I don't know why, like, this doesn't read like the charges of a hate crime felony that a 19-year-old does. But you know, you peel out on the wrong street. If there's a rainbow there, if there's been a light storm and there's a rainbow down on the ground and you burn rubber on it, it's not funny. I don't know why I can't stop laughing. Oh my goodness. Anyway, Dylan needs your help. So go to his Gibson Go because he has a legal defense because he's being charged for turning left. Oh man, you think he'd be charged for turning right, but he's gonna go to prison for turning left on Rainbow Road. I want to see this prosecutor arresting a bunch of kids for playing Mario Kart when they drive on Rainbow Road. Oh, man. Oh,
don't give them any ideas.
This is real. Is not a joke.
I know. And we have some of the things that I have seen this week about, you know, just these really vile, disturbing the drag queens, and you know they're still continuing to do this.
Can't
with
do
kids.
A show without drag queens.
I know. But just, you know, and there are still people that think that that is not happening, and it's actually just continuing to get worse. And the drag queens are becoming more, you know, they're not holding back at all with their true nature, with what it really is that they want to expose kids to. And nobody seems to have a problem with that. But, you know, a guy in a truck with LED lights and, you know, making a left turn on a rainbow flag on the road is apparently a felony. Whereas all of this other activity that they're doing with kids is perfectly fine. It just, you know, it
shows you the reverence. You could do anything you want to the flag, to the founding fathers. You could chop their heads off their statues. But if you chop the head off a Satan statue, or if you desecrate pride in any of it, pride, one of the seven deadly sins, if you desecrate it in any way, straight to jail. No, yeah. No, nothing. Straight to jail.
not to bring the mood down, but it really, it's not just about the fact that clearly our justice system is broken and we have these people that are intentionally trying to break it, but it is about sending a message about the type of belief system that they're trying to elevate versus the one that they're trying to tear down. They want to elevate this ideology that is based on sexuality and perversion, and one that leads kids to destroy themselves and cut their families out of their lives, and one that takes place of getting an actual education and feeds kids the lie that, and well, not just feeds everybody the lie that unless the LGBTQIA, you know, alphabet mafia gets their unwavering alliance and celebration, then our rights are the ones that deserve to be violated, and we need to be penalized and criminalized and targeted and destroyed. And I mean, I have had this thought just so many times lately. Like, there's no ideology that has done more to destroy America and all of the values that encourage people to be good and raise strong families and contribute to the community than this radical LGBTQIA mafia and their anti-science, anti-reality ideology. And it says a lot when they intentionally dismiss people that are burning the American flag and doing things to historical monuments, and, you know, versus the retaliation for someone who drove over a pride flag, and exactly what it is that they want us to be focused on and what they want our values to be focused on.
100%. This is a little bit of a longer clip, but we're going to watch the whole thing because it really sets us up nicely for exactly what's wrong with our criminal justice system. You almost have to put air quotes around it now because it's ridiculous. But no, seriously, I didn't put the link in the description because I forgot. Sorry, guys. Maybe I'll fix it. Maybe I won't. There are so many things to try and remember after stream. But go to his GiveSendGo. It's givesendgo.com/Dylan Brewer, which is an easy name to spell. All right. So Tim, I think Monday or Tuesday night, Tim Pool of Timcast, told this story, and when he was telling it, I was basically triggered. like this is exactly what's wrong. It's why I hated, and my wife can tell you, I hated my time in law enforcement because of this, and even more so now seeing crap go on, like what's going on with Donald Trump and with Dylan Brewer and with J6ers and so many other people. I'm expected any day, I'm expecting the Fed boys to show up at my house and arrest me in front of my kids with some kind of SWAT team or something because I was at January 6th and I have a podcast. Fully expect it. Obviously, they could reach out to my attorney. Obviously, they could get in contact with me and I could go down to, you know, I could go down to freaking the Hoover building. But anyway, we're going to listen to this story.
We'll need to understand something. So when I was, I think I was 18, my brother and I were at a shopping mall in the south side of Chicago when, for seemingly no reason, security guards started beating the crap out of us. Mostly my brother. And then when I tried calling 911, because I'm like three dudes just started beating the crap out of my brother. They bashed his head in the ground. When I called 911, they grabbed my phone and turned it off. Then 911 called back. But at this point, they've pinned me to the ground and it's this big fat guy sitting on me. And my phone's ringing, and I was like, that's the...
This is why I don't like security guards. These are not... I know security guards do this. These are not proper restraint techniques.
Police, and he holds it in front of me, and he presses end, and he puts it down. What had happened was someone else had been accused of shoplifting. These overzealous guys saw us and assumed it was us, and when they found nothing on us, uh-oh, did we just randomly grab two customers and beat the crap out of them? So the police show up, and I tell the officers, I'm the one who called 911 and I'd like to press charges. And the cop talked to the security guards and the security guards made up a story, claimed that me and my brother were screaming at people and swearing, causing a disturbance and refused to leave. I said, check the cameras. That's not true. We were walking around shopping and nothing happened. And he goes, don't care. And he's like, we don't file cross complaints.
Wow.
When we went to court, what had happened was the reason they tried to get us to plead guilty. We said no. They ended up offering a plea agreement for both of us, which would be...
Which our injustice system cronies do all the time. They could tell via video evidence they committed no crime, and they bullied them and said, just plea out and you'll get community service, time served, whatever. But good for them for saying no, but it continues and it gets worse.
Community service. And so ultimately we were like, it's like 6 months later, my brother and I talked about it. And we asked the lawyer, like, what's the worst case? They charged my brother with assault and me with disorderly conduct. And they're like, what's the worst case scenario if Chris gets convicted? They were like, worst case, 6 months in jail. Probably not going to happen. What's the worst case for me? And he said, 1 month disorderly conduct, likely community service if you do. And so my brother goes, I'll take the plea then, take the community service. And then I said, I'll go to trial because my worst case scenario is a month. And when the DA heard this, she audibly screamed in the court.
She screamed?
Yes. What? Like, why would we turn down a plea agreement for community service?
Because you don't want to put down that you're guilty if you're not.
Because we're innocent.
Yeah.
And so the judge was like, calm down. So my brother hears her scream. Our lawyer walks back over to us and my brother goes, what's her problem? Why does she hate me so much? And he was like, I don't know. And he goes, I want a trial. Tell her I'm going to trial. I don't care anymore. And so he goes, okay. He goes up. We see him talk to the judge. She screams again. The judge tells her to calm down. Our lawyer then told us what happened. He said at that point, the judge was shocked. And he's like, they both want a trial now? The plea agreement was 20 hours of community service at our own discretion. He's like, you could have a priest sign it. You're done. And that was the end of it. And my lawyer was like, why won't they take the deal? And our lawyer said, Your Honor, because they're innocent. And he went, Chambers, here's what he told us. We are not going to pursue anything beyond this. Nobody will get in trouble because we have to work with these people. The security guards who beat the crap out of you work with us every day because it's a large mall with a lot of issues. So we're on their side. You're lucky. Case dismissed. And don't file a lawsuit. The judge actually asked us before dismissal. He says, you're not going to file a lawsuit, are you? And we went, no. And he goes, okay, dismissed.
Yeah, he goes on to say if they would have filed a lawsuit, then he would have found him guilty. Maybe he would have summarily found him guilty without a trial because judges are just doing that now. But we see the exact same thing here. The police officers said that it caused significant damage to the streetscape, which serves the community, symbol, blah, 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 inclusivity. But the reason, the real reason that they did this is because they have to work with this community, this activist, LGBTQ, because they're the ones burning crap down, breaking stuff, assaulting people, and they're the ones that can get Antifa mobs to destroy a city and cause billions of dollars of damage. And we're the ones that just want to live our lives. We want to grow businesses and families and go to church and just be left alone. We pose no threat to the government. We pose no threat to law enforcement. So they're going to appease them. And they have these private conversations. And I've been party to these private conversations. And they say, you have to make these concessions because we have to work with them. Yeah, you did nothing wrong. Three guys walked up to you, beat the crap out of you. Then they lied and committed a crime by filing a false police report, lying to police officers in the official capacity of an investigation. And then the officer said, yeah, we don't care. We're going to take you. We know you didn't do anything. We're going to take you to jail. And then the prosecutor is trying to nail you to the freaking wall so that you have these misdemeanor charges in your record. So every time you get pulled over, they're like, oh, this guy's a douchebag criminal.
Yep.
And then the judge tried to bully them and told them in chambers, which obviously this is Tim's story. I guarantee you every word of this story is true. And then the judge tried to bully him and say, if you say you're going to sue, we're going to go to trial. I'm going to find you guilty.
Yeah.
The judge could have said that to them and there's nothing they can do.
Mm-hmm.
This is the system that we operate under, which is bullcrap.
Yeah. Well, I think this is essentially what it means to be under mob rule, to not really have a justice system, but to be controlled by the biggest bullies in the room. And, you know, I mean, we saw that through, I mean, I think the 2020 riots were probably the biggest example of that. You know, people saw what happened when they did stand up to these people and they didn't, there were pretty much no consequences for them. We saw that with, my brain just completely went blank, Derek Chauvin. You know, I mean, all of the evidence that has come out after that since then, there was that entire documentary about Minneapolis that came out. And I mean, I've seen so many people sharing videos after watching that documentary saying, oh my gosh, we were completely fooled because of everything that was withheld. And we are seeing that with the J6 defendants, people that are being charged. And, you know, just because there are people that want them to be criminals. And, you know, it just essentially for so many people, it's just not going to matter whether you're guilty or innocent. It's about, I don't know. It's just.
Well, it's painful you to watch. You nailed it because it's mob rule coupled with government tyranny because the security guards are not so much. But the cops, the prosecutors, the judges, that's all one branch. That's the judicial branch. Now, yep. You could make an argument that cops fall under the executive branch because they're administering the law on behalf of the governor or the president. But no, they're really part of the judicial branch. They're supposed to be separated, but they, I promise you all, they teach this bullcrap in law enforcement academies, even some of the best in the nation. The ones here in Virginia are some of the best in the nation. I've got the T-shirt and the certificates and all that bullcrap. And daily I got into arguments with detectives and with captains, senior law enforcement officials that had brilliant careers and blah, 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 blah. And this is the weirdness of it. The weirdness of it is all of these people, people that were coming out to be jail officers and deputies and other people that were doing other types of law enforcement, police officers, game wardens, whatever. This is the weirdness of it. I argued every day of the 6 or 9 months or however long the academy was, I argued with them every day about the Constitution, about legalities, about the finer points of the law for the oath that we all swear to uphold and all that stuff. And they said, oh, well, when you're older, when you've done the job longer, you'll feel differently. The students voted for me to be the class president. I was the class president of that class that I was basically a thorn in the side. I made every class longer. Search and seizure, I made longer. Constitutional law, even driving, I made every class longer than it had to be. But I learned that the people who were there, when they got there, they were actually kind of on my side. But then they get their credentials and they get out there on their own and they get bullied into this. This is why if you think that law enforcement is going to protect you when it goes down, you are out of your freaking mind. They're the ones that are going to be going door to door, and because they're already doing this mafioso bullcrap and you don't hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, I think too, it's not just in law enforcement. It's not just in that area. This mob rule applies to pretty much every industry when it comes to education. The vast majority of teachers do not want to be teaching their young students about sexuality and about gender ideology. But it is the teachers' unions and the people at the top that is forcing this stuff down on them and not giving them a choice. And if they choose not to go along with it, they're out of a job, they're out of, you know, their years of experience and whatever else, you know.
They'll also set that same judicial system on them with lawsuits and frivolous charges.
Exactly. I mean, we've seen this with therapists that treat kids that, you know, come in with questions about their gender. We see this in businesses. You know, the vast majority of business owners don't want to be teaching their employees and about diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know, they don't want to be bringing these things into the fabric of their organization. And probably most of them don't want to be displaying pride flags and transgender flags and all of these things either. But it's just a few people that will make your life absolutely miserable. And far too many people are saying, you know what, like, what is more important to me than your rights and your ability to speak up and your freedom and your liberty or whether or not you're innocent or whatever the case may be, is me not having to deal with the backlash. Me not having to be to face, you know, being targeted or harassed or swatted or threatened. And that to me is the main issue and probably a big reason as to how it got this far. Because people just are like, you know what? I'm not willing to put my butt on the line for it.
Nope. And for good reason. Well, that's all we got. You want to shout anything out?
I would love it if you guys would follow me on either Rumble or YouTube. I'm trying to consistently put content out. But I know I talk a lot about a lot of things that YouTube does not like. So I frequently get comments of people asking me, how come you don't have more followers? I'm like, because YouTube doesn't like me. So, you know, I just, it's a little annoying, but
your content's really good. Your content's really good.
And I try. It's a little all over the board sometimes, but I try and talk a little bit about serious stuff and then throw in something random, but it's fun.
Yeah.
But I have some good stuff planned, so go follow me over there. Hit subscribe.
You know what? I think I failed again. I don't think your YouTube link is in the description. It was, but it like fell off.
It's okay.
Anyway, I need to step my organization game. You could put it in the planner. You could help a guy out. Well, guys, Thanks for, if you're still here, you made it this long, you're a fan. Subscribe to the channels, The Jim Mobley Show, wherever you subscribe to things. Outspoken Samantha, wherever you subscribe to things. Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, podcast is always there. And they can't get rid of the podcast, which is, oh, I just love it. But anyway, members only show starts in about 5 or 6 minutes. It's not too late to join. You can go to thejimmobleyshow.com/join. Fill out the stuff. Actually, you could bypass that and just watch the member show for free. But if you want to become a supporter and see all of the member show, because halfway through the non-paid supporters get dropped off, then you got to become a member. Membership is $5 a month, and you get a mug and you get a T-shirt. And I think that's all we got for him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If that was the first prayer you've ever prayed, I hope it won't be the last. Until next time, this is The Joe Mobley Show.